Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this the third Sunday after the Epiphany. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord, and thank you to you who were able to make it in here this morning. We are doing a recording of the service, so hopefully we can get that posted to our website by early this afternoon, if not later this afternoon. Please do fill out the attendance card. We'll track that attendance, and we'll turn that into the office here this morning and continue on then with our service. A few things different, of course, as the weather has permitted or not permitted. Mr. Williams is not here to play the organ, but Mr. Torbeck is, and he will play our hymns and our liturgy on the piano. So thank you, Randy, for being here for that. Of course, as we are supposed to be kicking off National Lutheran Schools Week, we would have had our school kids singing as well, but they're not able to be with us, so we'll have to look forward to them here another time. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 4 that begins on page 203 in our hymnal. So we'll sing our first hymn, which is our hymn of the year, and for our National Lutheran Schools Week 817, Earth and All Stars.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned, thought, word, and deed, that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done.
everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of midday. This is the word of the Lord.
For those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've heard the words from our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 9 before, in connection usually with the celebration of Christmas, the birth of Jesus. The former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the people walking in darkness
have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Well, the coming of the light, as prophesied by Isaiah, of course, is Christ. And when that light does appear, as Jesus comes on the scene, it is joyful, especially as we celebrate this, the season of light, the season of Epiphany. But what was the darkness that was over the land? For that, we must take a quick look back in time. King David, great king over all of Israel, was the man after God's own heart. And every king following David would be compared with the greatest of them all, even his son, Solomon the Wise. And Solomon's great wisdom, the gift from God that it was, brought him into contact with many of the world's empires and nations at that time. And of course, with those empires coming into Israel, having contact with Solomon, their gods, their ideas, and their religions came with them. Solomon entertained those various religions, even building high places for these people to worship there in the land of Israel. Even though Ecclesiastes is likely Solomon's admittance to his wrongful idolatry and a clear statement of his repentance for that sin, the damage had already been done. God's judgment upon his people, the nation of Israel, was set. Solomon had received great gifts from all over the world for the blessing of his wisdom, and he used those gifts to beautify the city of Jerusalem and the sacred temple of Yahweh God. Unfortunately, to do so, Solomon needed a labor force, and he used his own fellow Hebrews to do the work. Jeroboam was the assigned leader of this task force under Solomon, but he had sought more relief for his workers, fellow Hebrews, and children of Abraham. Solomon refused. Jeroboam was then told by a prophet named Ahijah that he would be given 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. But fearful of King Solomon, Jeroboam fled, and fled to the nation of Egypt until Solomon would die. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, took over as king after Solomon had died. And a similar request was made to lighten the load of the work of fellow Hebrews. Rehoboam also refused. He had received sage advice from his older advisors and counselors, but opted to go with the advice of his younger associates and maintain the heavy load upon the fellow Israelites. In fact, Rehoboam saw fit to increase their labor, seeking to keep them even more firmly under his control. As a result, the people of the northern tribes rallied around Jeroboam, and they crowned Jeroboam as their own king, thus forever dividing the one nation of Israel. The northern tribes under King Jeroboam built their capital in Shechem, which is in the area of Samaria in the New Testament Israel. Jeroboam allowed for the building of high places to false gods all throughout the land. Many of the faithful Hebrew people, trusting in the promises of Yahweh God, would long for that reunification of Israel. But too many others had no such desire. Israel in the north would be ravaged by the Assyrians, causing the loss of 10 of those 12 tribes of Jacob. Babylon would come along and later conquer over Judah and Jerusalem in the south, about 125 years later. The tribe of Judah remained strongly intact by the grace of God and was permitted to return back to their homeland, the promised land in the south, by King Cyrus of Persia And so the temple of Solomon was rebuilt, and the southern kingdom of Judah resumed, though only a shell of its former self. The region to the north of Judah, where Israel's capital was located, became the land of misfits in the eyes of the Jews of the south. Surviving members, few that they were of those 10 tribes of Israel, intermarried with remaining Canaanites and soon became known as Samaritans. The region of Galilee above Samaria was a mix of peoples. Some of the Jews from the south had migrated to the north, and many Gentiles from surrounding communities also made their home in Galilee. So the Jews in the south viewed themselves as the true and pure descendants of Father Abraham, the homeland of the promised Messiah. The Jews in Galilee were not well regarded by those from the south, and the Samaritans in between were rejected by both. Joseph and Mary were descendants of Judah, and they dwelled in Nazareth, which is in Galilee, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the land of deep darkness. The census of Caesar Augustus drove them down to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. But they returned home to Nazareth and to Galilee, and that is where Jesus began his ministry. Jesus had been baptized by John in the Jordan River, and been sent out by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The arrest of John, the relative of Jesus and fellow worker in the kingdom, had to come as a shock, even to Jesus and the followers of John. Of course, many of the prophets who had come before were persecuted, just like John. When it actually happens in your midst, in your time, it is truly unsettling. And so Jesus packed up his belongings, seeing the arrest of John as his cue to begin his work. With Capernaum by the sea, the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, as his new home and his base of operations in the north, Jesus began to preach the very same message of John: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John and Jesus were thus united, proclaiming the same message from the same source, one true Yahweh God. And while walking there, by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus began to gather into himself followers, specifically those who were fishers of men. Jesus, of course, would save the world on his own, but the work of disciples was needed for the future. They would be his witnesses and the continuers of his ministry, and that flows here to today. Jesus is the great light that has been seen in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. For Jesus came and he would heal the sick, he would raise the dead, and he would bring light into that shadow of death, hope in the midst of a broken and dark world. Many would hear Jesus, see what he could do, and cling to him and follow after him. But then many of them fell away. Nonetheless, Isaiah's prophecy had come true. Light was shining in the land of deep darkness, for Christ, the light of the world, was there. And Jesus went all throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues in each and every town. And droves of people brought their sick and their needy, their disabled, to Jesus, and he healed them. He healed them all. Pains, demon oppression, seizures, paralysis, all were no match for Jesus. And each one heard the gospel proclaimed unto them. For each recipient of Jesus' divine power heard that saving message, the call to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that is of utmost importance. Illnesses, injuries, all come and go. Even those who were raised from the dead by the Lord Jesus would go on to die again. What remained constant was the plague, the burden, the curse of sin. Each and every heart remained alive to sin and in need of constant cleansing. And only faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior could purge away all that sin. Only Jesus could make sinners ready for the coming reign of heaven. And that light of Christ remains the center of the Christian church today. And if that message of repentance is not proclaimed, then it is no Christian church. For sin continues to be our biggest problem, even though we are the baptized into Christ and we are new creatures in Him. We remain in our sin. As our old Adam, our sinful nature still clings to us, still is. So the message of repentance remains, as Jesus has willed the entire life of the Christian to be one of repentance. And with that repentance comes the forgiveness of sins. That is the very power, the heart, the soul of the gospel. For we do owe God eternally for our sin. He paid that price eternally for us in Jesus. When we repent, turning away from our sin, we can do so fully confident that our sin is taken away. Lay your sins fully on Jesus. Hold nothing back before Him, for your sin stands forgiven already in Christ. And that message is the reason for our joy as Christians. This week marks the beginning of National Lutheran Schools Week. There are over 2,000 Lutheran preschools and day schools throughout our country, 99 Lutheran high schools, 6 Lutheran universities, and 2 seminaries, all belonging to our beloved Synod. And each is a place that is committed to the very gospel of Jesus and sharing Jesus as the light of the world. The joy that comes with it, all to the world that is in the shadow of darkness. And so the theme for our National Lutheran Schools Week this year is Make a Joyful Noise. We do that because Jesus is our light and He is our life. He has rescued us from sin and from death and from the power of the devil. His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His reign at the right hand of the Father, His presence with us in word and sacrament is all worthy of our thanks and our praise. For this truth is epiphany to us, that Jesus has come to be our Savior from sin, giving us the best of all reasons to rejoice and to be glad and to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, our Savior Jesus, now and forever. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and unto life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected. Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabbath.
Christ shed for you.
Lord's table.
Thank you.
stand to sing the Nunquaminis.
Travel back home and go forth in His name.